Proverbs 10:22, and I want everybody to look at it and think about it. We've already mentioned it this morning, but it's a powerful, powerful scripture. The blessing, not a blessing, but the blessing. We've been talking about that for weeks around here. The blessing. The blessing is made up of a whole bunch of blessing. Amen? It's made up of salvation, righteousness, healing, prosperity. Because you know, you couldn't be rich and it really mean anything if it was just money, could it? How would you like to have all kinds of money and have no health? Well, there's a lot of people in that category. No, the blessing of the Lord makes rich spirit, soul, and body. And I'd like you to say it out loud with me. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Let's read that again. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Well, are there sorrows in life? Did God add them? No. No. We've got enemies in life, don't we? We've got enemies in life. We're going to have tribulation. Do you like that word, tribulation? Is that one of your favorite words? It's got a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Tribulation. It's kind of like tintinabulation, which is about bell ringing. No, tribulation is not a word that's favorite in our vocabulary. But Jesus said, in this world you will have it. What was he talking about?
Death.
That would be one. Yeah, go ahead. Stone would be good. Boiled in oil would be a bad one, right? But you know what he's really talking about generally for everybody is trouble. You might just put that in, trouble.
Tribulation.
Yeah, tribulation. It's trouble. You got trouble? Everybody knows what trouble is, right? I don't have to explain trouble. Because we've got it all around us. And just about the time you think everything's going to go good, trouble, right? But you know what? The blessing of the Lord still makes rich. And God didn't add the trouble. The trouble comes because we live in a fallen, imperfect world, and the God of this world is moving upon His servants in this world and the world system. All of those things add to our trouble. They add to the troubles that are all around us. But we're not talking about the trouble. We're talking about the way to overcome the trouble. Yeshua said, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. That means everybody smile, right? Put on a happy face. Why? Because Jesus said, I have overcome, conquered the world. He's done it. It's done, and it's as sure as it can be. No matter what happens to you today, no matter the trouble that you face today, no matter what thing flies at you, the truth is, Jesus has overcome it. And I'll tell you that the blessing we're talking about is a person. Do you believe that? The blessing is Yeshua, the Messiah. That's the blessing. And when God spoke blessing, He was speaking of His Son, for the blessings in His Son. We learned that this happened a long time ago when God first blessed us. We found out, as we've just been talking about tithing a little bit, that the tithe is linked to the blessing. The tithe connection. We found out that when Abraham had defeated the four kings, and he came back, and the king of Sodom came to him and said, hey, Abraham, come here. Hey, you can keep all the money, just give me the people. Abraham said, whoa, take your money. I don't want your money. I don't want your riches. I don't want your jewels. All I want's the food that was eaten for the servants that were along with me. because I'm not ever going to have it said that any man made Abraham rich. You remember that? It's a good story. It's a good story. No man made Abraham rich. We need to get that same attitude today. That's what causes people to finagle. We get to thinking that somehow we can get the blessing by finagling it. We think we can get blessed by getting the best price on everything. I'm not against getting a good price, but I'll tell you, there's a spirit in dickering that actually becomes ungodly. It's finagling. See, I never heard about finagling. Well, you didn't grow up on the farm, I guess, because we used to finagle, try to get things. You know what we're talking about? Making things happen. No, the blessing of the Lord is what makes us rich. And we found out that the blessing demands walking in love. We've already studied that. By the way, all of these are online. Every message is up to date now, except we clear up to this morning. We don't have this morning's up yet because I'm just doing it. But we're getting them up on time now. So if you want to go back through the blessing, I believe right now we've already been talking about the blessing for about 3 months, 4 months. Quite a few messages on the blessing. And the blessing is central. Another name for the blessing is the gospel. The good news. Did you know that? The blessing. How many of you know that Abraham heard the gospel? We don't think about that, but the Bible says that God preached the gospel to Abraham. When Abraham met Melchizedek after he came back from this same battle, the Bible said that Abraham gave unto Melchizedek, which the Jewish sages believe was Shem. We don't know who he was, but that is a belief. And he could have been. He was alive during that time. We know of his lifespan. And that he gave tithes to him, gave a tenth of all. And the Bible says, and Melchizedek blessed Abraham. He blessed him. And he spoke the same blessing that God had been speaking all along. When did we first hear the blessing? When did mankind first hear the blessing? Anybody know? When did we first hear the blessing from God's own mouth? It's recorded for us, thankfully. Genesis chapter 1. That's a long ways back, isn't it? That's when we first heard it. I didn't say that's when it first occurred. It's when we first heard it, because God first made Adam. He said, Adam! What does Adam mean besides just Adam's name?
Dirt.
What?
Dirt.
Comes from the word Adama, which means dust or dirt. But God did something to Adama when he said, Adam! What did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He had formed him of the dust of the earth, the Bible says. And then breathed. He said, Adam. And Adam, perfect as he was, woke up, looked around. Perfect. Think how perfect he was. Made in God's likeness and in God's image. And God, verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1, spoke. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, fill. This says subdue or replenish. But it really, the word is fill. Fill the earth. Subdue it. Now that's not the attitude that the average Christian has of subduing the earth. And yet Yeshua said, occupy till I come. An occupation force subdues. He says, have dominion over everything else. And as we've talked about this, we know that God took Adam and set him in a garden. A garden that's bounded by rivers. So, I mean, this thing is not just 640 acres. This was a big garden, right? Probably in Iraq, as nearly as anybody that I know has figured, it's got to have been around Iraq. Between those rivers. And God said to Adam, be fruitful. Well, fruitful what? That means to reproduce, right? Reproduce. That's one thing. But what else? Multiply. Then he says, fill the earth. Well, that's with people, but what else is he wanting to fill it with? With the same thing that he set him in, the garden. How many of you know the garden is a good way of looking at the kingdom of God? Isn't that right? The garden would be a good way of just looking. We call it Gan Eden. The Garden of Eden. But the garden wasn't just a garden. It was the place where God had fully set everything up, perfectly prepared and ready for Adam. But then he says, I want you to cause this garden to spread out. You tend it. Spread it out. I believe, according to what we read right here, he wants it to fill the earth. Now, why I'm saying that is, I fully believe that during the time, by the time the thousand-year reign, the seventh year, the Shabbat year, by the time it's done, this earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. You believe that? I believe that with Yeshua in charge here, we're going to see the Garden of Eden everywhere. Now, I didn't say everything's going to be perfect, because he's still got one more step after that, doesn't he? A new heaven and a new earth. But it's tremendous what he said to the first Adam. Who was the last Adam? What's the Bible say the last Adam was? It was Yeshua. Now, what did Adam, first Adam, do? He blew it off. He blew it off. And really, you could say that the first sin was associated with the tithe, in that he took what didn't belong to him. God gave him everything else, but he took what didn't belong to him. He took what didn't belong. And of course, in Malachi, that's exactly what God says the tithe is likened to, is stealing from him. Adam stole from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So here we are with Adam in this position. And we found out that even though he was empowered to have dominion, that's what all of his blessing does, is empowered him. If God told him to do it, how many of you believe he could have done everything God said? Just with the word God spoke to him. Could he? Absolutely. Would he have done it in a day? No. Would he have done it in 7 days? No. But if he had gone working 6 days and resting one and continued on as God had shown him at the beginning, I believe he would have done it. I believe he would have filled the earth. But instead he stole from God. He blew off the blessing. Now, God set about immediately to restore, didn't he? Even though Adam had blown it, separated himself, immediately he set about with a plan to redeem what had been given away by Adam. Now, we said, when did this blessing first start? Well, according to the Bible, Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us, or we could say called us in him, when? Before the foundation of the world. Did you know that God called you, Levi, before the foundation of the world? Did you know that? He knew your name. He knew you'd be sitting here today. He knew the needs in your life. He knows everything about you. And he knew that when? Before the foundation of the world. There was nothing hidden from him. Nothing hidden from him. He knew it all. We tend to think about things coming along and say, oh, God did a new thing. Well, I want you to know something. Ecclesiastes has it right. There aren't any new things. God set this whole thing in motion, and it wasn't new. So, as we're going along, we found out this was before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So when did He choose us? When did He choose you, Bethany? From the foundation of the world. And how do we know that He knew all about everything? Is because the Bible says that Yeshua was slain from when? The foundation of the world. So this whole thing is not new to God. It's not something new. And it wasn't new when He spoke it to Adam. It was His plan from the beginning. In fact, we could say it was the blueprint laid out. So if He's already blessed us, what is one of the things that would keep us from manifesting in the blessing?
Unbelief or lack of faith?
Yeah. Yeah. And the Bible starts out talking about that. Well, I shouldn't say starts out. One of the things it teaches us about it, one of the reasons that we get into this attitude of unbelief and lack of faith is found in 1 John 3:21. And we looked at this last week. If you want to go back and get the full message, like I say, you'll understand more about this as you study it all. But it says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." What's the reciprocal of that verse? Or the opposite of that verse?
If our heart condemns us, then we don't have confidence toward God.
That's right. We don't have... Did you know that the general attitude of people is not to have confidence, and it generally has something to do with us? A believer that studies the Word and knows the Word knows God can do anything, right? What's the thing they don't know? They know He can. Or will He? When will He do it? Right? Well, He's willing too. And the Bible says, if our heart doesn't condemn, what can God cause our heart to condemn us? Our sin. Missing the mark. Right? Sin will condemn us. And actually, it's not God doing it most of the time, as I can see it. It's the enemy. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. God's made a way for you to immediately overcome sin. How do you do it? If we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, there's no excuse for not having confidence. But if our heart condemns us, we don't have confidence. Remember what we said about how sin can deter the blessing? How does it deter the blessing? It's a confidence killer, right? Beside that, sin is making someone beside God Lord. Has everybody got that? When you sin, you have obeyed the God of this world. That's what it amounts to. When Adam sinned, he just paid heed. Do you remember what the prophetic word this morning said? Listening to words other than the Word of God. Listening to compromising words. Listening to words that are watered down and diluted. Those are things that will build an attitude in us. Just as faith comes by hearing the Word of God, so does unbelief come by listening to those words. Amen? It's a fact. So we need to have confidence toward God. The Bible says, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. Can you quickly overcome sin? Yes. I didn't say you can stop sinning completely. You know, it seems that the Bible teaches that if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. But when we sin, when we miss it, whether in word, thought, or deed, we can immediately take care of it, can't we? And we can restore our confidence toward God. So let me ask you a question today. Are you confident of God's love? Are you? Well, if you're confident of His love, then you should be confident of His blessing. Amen. So let me ask you this. Are you confident of God's love and the blessing? Are you confident? All right. Then we need to start receiving. And this is where I want to begin today, really, is talking to you about receiving the blessing of God. The blessing is something that you should be able to say right now, I am blessed. Can you say that?
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Now remember, the blessing speaks of the promise. It speaks of the gospel. It speaks of manifold the blessings, the different things in it. In fact, 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 really says it. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You ever thought of that? What did He give us? All things that pertain unto life. Say life. That's Chaim. He gave us life and everything that pertains to it, and God, He's already... So the blessing is really found there, isn't it? All things. And we already said it this morning. It's found in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus Christ is the blessing. We have that. Are you confident of it? Yeah. So now, I am blessed. What's the thing I'm... not always seeing about the blessing.
The evidence,
the manifestation. The manifestation. So, how do I get to the place where I receive that manifestation? I receive it. I begin to walk in it. That's where I want to get. And see, I believe too many times we're passive about the Word of God. We read it, we say, oh, hallelujah, praise God. But then we walk away and we're just like the man in James. You know, we've got a big chunk of spinach stuck between the two front teeth. And you forget what you have believed. You forget what you have said. And you walk around like a pauper, even though you have the blessing. Stories told about an old lady in England that a man that I read a book years ago about the gifts of the Spirit talked about. And the man said this old lady was just on the edge of absolute destitution. She lived in a very small dwelling. It was dim, and all she had to heat it with was coal in a little burner. None of you have ever seen those little cast iron coal burners, that's what she had to heat it with. And that's how she stayed warm. And so if any of you have ever lived in that kind of a house, you know that you stay warm on the side that's facing the coal stove, and the backside of you is cold a lot of times. You just cover up. That's what you do. Either that, or if you get it overloaded, it'll make the whole place too hot. But she was so destitute that she only had just a little bit of coal, and she had to make it go a long way. And this man, a minister in England at the time, went to visit her one day. And while he was in her house, she served him tea. She was very much given to hospitality. She was very kind. But he said, while she was preparing the tea, I noticed a frame on the wall. And he said, I walked over to it, and in the dim light, he said, I studied it for a while. And he said, about the time I figured out what it was, she walked back into the room. And he said, I asked this lady, who was apparently able to read but not understand everything she read, I said, where did you get this? And he said, oh, she said, for years I worked for a fine lady here in London. I believe it was in London, in England. I worked for this very fine, wealthy lady, and she was very, very sweet, and she took such good care of me while I worked for her. Everything was fine while I worked for her. And he said, when she died, she said she left me this document of gratitude. And he said, I have valued it. She said, I valued it all these years. She'd been living. Now remember, she's elderly and destitute. The man said, I took that and began to read it to her. And he said, what it was a document where the lady had given a great fortune to this lady. She had provided money to her, a fortune to her, on paper, legal document. But the lady was living in destitution. Is that a lesson for us today? Did our God leave us a will? Has He left us a testament? Well, the fact is, that's exactly the way we are today. We have the blessing, but we don't know what we have. We haven't understood it. We need to receive it. I don't know the end of that story. I don't believe if he told it, I've forgotten it, but my mind immediately said he helped her get the will executed and she received her inheritance. But she lived for years without it because why? She didn't know what was hers. I believe there are Christians today who don't know what is theirs. They haven't come to the place where we believe it. We believe the blessing. Now, I want to stop again and say very, very plainly that we believe the blessing of God makes rich, but it makes rich for a reason. In you, the nations of the earth will be blessed. Those around you will be blessed. God would bless us so that we can give it away. Amen? Oh, but if I give it away, then I'll be right back in the poorhouse. No! We tell the story about the lady that Jesus walking into the temple, and she came by the treasury in the temple. She stopped by the box, and she put in 2 mites, it says. A very small amount of money compared to what others were giving. What did Yeshua say about her? Somebody help me. What did He say? She'll be remembered always because out of her want, she gave her whole living. These others that are coming in and putting much larger quantity gifts in lack quality, right? Now, how have people always heard about that? This poor woman gave it, and you know, what do they believe? They believe, I think without even thinking, they believe she put in all of her living, went out and just starved to death. How many of you believe that? If you believe anything about the Word of God, you know that when Jesus spoke that about her and said she's given more, I'll tell you what, I believe her harvest started coming in. You believe it? I believe she who sowed also reaped. We read about it with Elijah. Elijah's told to go to a widow. He goes to a widow when he sees the widow when she's picking up sticks outside, and she says, "What are you doing?" She says, "I'm building a fire. Because inside I have just enough meal and oil to make a cake for my son and a cake for myself, and then we'll die." That's the end of the supply. Elijah said, "I got news for you. You got one more cake to make. Make me one first, and then one for you, and one for your son." What happened? As long as the famine was on, the meal did not diminish, nor the oil run out. God wants us to know that you can give away His blessing. In fact, that's what it's for. So the blessing makes rich. What would happen if you were a rich man? What was that guy's name in Fiddler on the Roof? "If I were a rich man."
Chevy.
"If I were a rich man." Well, you know, he had a wrong attitude, didn't he? But you know what would happen if you were a rich man? You might as well begin to ponder this. Ponder it. Young man, ponder. What would you do with riches? Well, you could do like the Beatles did. Right? They had riches. But you know what you could do? You could become known for giving. You could become a giver. In fact, the highest form of that would be to give and not be known. Right? Give and not be known. Nobody even needs to know where it comes from. Just give it. But give it away. Yeah.
And I know a man who really wanted to give a lot to missions. And so he began to speak with God about this. And the Lord said to him, well, what would you do if I gave you a lot of money? And he said, I would put 90% into missions. And then 10% I would keep for my own provision, and I'll put that in my wife's name so I don't get, you know, greedy, and I'll talk to her about that. So the Lord said, okay, deal. So he showed him how to buy these oil fields, and when the people were selling them, he'd buy the ones that the Lord told them to buy, and then they'd hit oil. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, millions and millions of dollars they put into Youth with a Mission, which mm-hmm. now has like 25,000 mission bases. And this was actually Craig Hill's father.
Really?
And it's a story that he tells a lot.
Amen.
About the provision of
Amen.
God. When you're willing to give, God will give it to you. But you need to, ahead of time, prepare yourself, because we all have flesh. And so
that's right.
If you don't figure it out ahead of time, then, you know, there's...
That's why we need to begin to meditate.
Yeah.
We need to begin to meditate it. Form a plan. Do you believe the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just? Do you have any scriptural evidence that that's true? Well, if you've been reading along with us in Exodus, you know that the wealth of the sinner was laid up for the Israelites when they left. The Bible says they didn't just take wages, they spoiled the land. Right? It said they spoiled the Egyptians. Well, I don't want to get like that. Why not? God's plan for Israel was that Israel would show forth Torah. Amen? And that's the blessing, the living word. Do you know a more wealthy group of people on the earth today than the Jewish people? And did you know that they still know about some of the biblical precepts of giving? They give. They don't tithe, as I understand it. They just give. But they're givers. And I really believe there's power in being a giver. But here's the thing. If we're going to receive the blessing, we need to realize that God never changes. How many believe that? See, that's one of the things that those of us that have adopted a Hebraic lifestyle, we believe that God never changes. It affects the way we eat, right? It affects the way we live. I don't know anybody that's perfect in it. We do know this, that it doesn't buy us salvation, but nevertheless, it's just like our Father, so we want to live like Him, right? But if God never changes, then the blessing never changed that He gave to Adam. I believe that with all my heart. Read Galatians 3:8 with me. It says, the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Well, what did He preach to Abraham? Did you ever hear Him say, Jesus Christ, come and save you from your sins, to Abraham? No, He said, in you and in your seed will all the nations of the earth be blessed. And He told Abraham the same thing He had told Adam. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to multiply. You're going to subdue and have dominion in the earth. That's what He told him. And Abraham did what? What did Abraham do? He believed the message. When the gospel was preached to him, he believed it. He preached the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Abraham believed that. So he believed it. So how do we have to receive preaching? You're here today, you're listening to me preach and teach. How are you going to receive it? If it's the Word of God, what are you going to do with it? Believe it. I'm going to believe it. Galatians 3:8 says that Abraham had the gospel preached to him. And verse 9 says, so they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I believe that if I do the same thing Abraham did, the same thing will happen to me. You believe that? Do you believe if you did the same thing that Abraham did, which was believe God, that the same thing will happen to me? Do you believe that? Is that fair? I believe it's fair. I believe if God's no respecter of persons, if God had respect unto the faith of Abraham, He'll have respect unto my faith. Do you believe that? Galatians 3:13 tells us that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. 14, that the blessing of Abraham. What blessing was that? Huh? The blessing. The blessing. The promise. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That's the pagan nations. Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise, the blessing, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Romans 4:3 says, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans 4:7 says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, or remitted, sent away, and whose sins are covered. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, you've got that kind of blessing on you right now, don't you? Amen? Well, let me ask you a question then, Romans 4:9. Did this blessedness come upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? Who all did it come on? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Verse 10, how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Are we talking against circumcision? No, absolutely not. We're just putting things in their right order. In fact, we'll just tell you right now that circumcision, according to the Scripture, is really a matter of the heart, right? That's the key. And there's a lot of people with fleshly circumcision that don't have a circumcised heart. And the Bible says if those who don't have a physical circumcision but have a circumcised heart, it'll be counted as a circumcision for them. Amen? Verse 13 of Romans 4 says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law. Now I want to stop that and say it wasn't to his through his doing the works of the law. He didn't get that through the works of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For they which are of the law, if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. And the promise, or the blessing, is made of none effect. Drop down to 16. 16 says, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Who are the seed? Yeah. You know, the Bible first says that the promise was made to Abraham and his seed, not to many, but to one. That's Christ, right? But then it tells us here, when it says all the seed, that means those which be in Christ are also Abraham's seed. And what if we're seed, then what are we also? The Bible goes ahead and finishes that scripture and says, and heirs according to the promise. Heirs. According to the promise. It says we're heirs, not to that only, I'm back in 16 again, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made or called thee a father of many nations. That's exactly what God did. When he made him one, how did he do it? He called him that. How did God call Abraham a father of many nations? How did he do it? Well, you got to go back to Abraham's name before he was Abraham, don't you? It was Abram. Avram, actually. Avram. Which means exalted father. What did God add? What did God add to Avram when he called Avram the father of many nations? Well, if you know your Hebrew alphabet, you know that he added one letter. What letter was that? A what? The hey. Say hey, right? The hey. Now, what's the hey? Anybody know anything about the pictures of the Hebrew alphabet? What's the hey? The hey is breath. It's breath. The breath of God. God spoke Avraham. What does Avraham mean? It means the father of many nations. So God went to the exalted father and called him Avraham. You say, is that significant? If you know God like I know God, you know it's significant. You know that he wouldn't have changed his name if it wasn't significant. It meant something. He called him. Now listen. Listen to this. This is important. As it is written, I'm going to change the word from made to called here. I called thee a father of many nations before him. Another way of putting that, and some translations put that, like him whom he believed. God made him a father of many nations. Like whom did he believe? Who did Abraham believe? Yahweh, didn't he? And he says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations like me, whom I believe, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Did you know God taught Abraham how to call things which be not as though they were? How did he do it? He gave him a new name. He gave him a new name, and he began to say what God called him. He meets somebody on the street. What's your name? You hear the Hebrew name. He heard, I'm the father of many nations. Glad to meet you. Right? I'm the father of many nations. Did you know there was... I don't find anybody else before him ever named Abraham. I believe that was the first time anybody had ever been called Abraham. There was Avram a lot, you know. That name had been around. But the father of many nations. Even today, there's a lot of father names in Hebrew. Avi, my father, right? Avi. So God taught Abraham something. And you remember when we studied the book Faith and Confession? This is all about what God taught Abraham. He taught him to confess and to believe, to trust, to say. And the saying is a setting. When you say something, it sets it. If you say, I will do something, did you know your word is your bond? It defines you. If you're a person that says, I will, and then you don't, guess what people think of you? It's a bad thing, right? We all know that. But if you say, I will, or I am, well, that's your bond. You better be what you say you are. You better do what you say you'll do. And so Abraham began to say it, even though the Bible says there was no hope. But in verse 18 it said, against hope he believed in hope. How does the operation of believing doing? See, I think a lot of people think believing is just a matter of mentality. But you know, believing isn't just a matter of your mentality. It's a matter of your action. Faith, trust is an action word. To really trust in something means you'll lean on it. It means you'll put your absolute confidence in it. You'll lay on it. Even if you don't see anything. Abraham, the Bible said, when there was no hope, he trusted in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Who spoke it? Who spoke it? Who said you'll be the father of many nations? Come on. Who? Yahweh said it. Now who else said it? Abraham said it. See, what I want you to see is that if what you believe, you need to start speaking. You need to start saying it. When people talk to you about how you're doing, you know, don't tell them, I'm under the weather. Don't go around always confessing that under the circumstances, you're not doing too bad. Begin to say what the Word of God says. The Word of God says you are the blessed of God. I'm blessed. Praise God, I'm blessed in Jesus. Wouldn't that be a powerful thing if we all started saying that and acting like we believe it? Because I'll tell you, if when you won't say something, you're not acting like you believe it. Abraham had to say something that I mean to tell you, if God was a man that he could lie, Abraham would have really looked bad, do you know? Going, I'm the father of many nations. Oh yeah, where's your kids? Right? But you see, he had confidence in God. And so he said what God's called him, and he spoke it. It says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which is spoken, so shall your seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Boy, there's a lot of times you have to quit considering things. Get your bank statement. Don't consider that. Don't consider it. Really? Now, I'm not saying to be foolish, but I mean when you're dealing with faith, you need to begin to speak and believe beyond what you can see. Your own body. Sometimes, you know, when sickness attacks, why, the easiest thing in the world to say, I need sympathy and medicine and help. Can't somebody just see how bad I feel? But you know, how much better to say what the Word of God says. By His stripes I was healed. Praise God, and I'm fighting with every ounce of strength I have to enforce what God says. I believe it. I believe it's His will to keep me well and strong. You see, when you consider your own body, then you're just considering your circumstances. Abraham didn't consider his own body now reproductively dead. Isn't that right? 99 years old? He didn't consider his own body to be in the circumstance of impotent. Right? He considered his body to be a vessel for God to work through. Amen? So the Bible says, he staggered not. He staggered not. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God. Boy, that, I'll tell you, there's a key right there. If every time you hear one of God's words, you start having the what ifs. You ever get the what ifs? They like the hiccups. You know, you get the hiccups, they just kind of come uncontrollably. Some people, they always got the what if. But what if? What if? You know, that's looking at your circumstances. Or, listen to me, you might even be looking at your experience, which is just as bad as your circumstances. Your experience. Well, I asked God for that one time and nothing happened. Well, you see, the Bible didn't say you just ask. The Bible says if you abide in Him and His words abide in you, you ask what you will and it will be done to you. It doesn't say you can just ask anything you want. It's got to be according to His Word. In fact, if you're going to have faith, it's got to be according to His Word, because faith comes by hearing the Word. Did Abraham's faith grow when every time he said, I'm the father of many nations, thank you? Amen. His faith grew. And God knew just how long it would take for Abraham to come into to that place where he could actually begin to work through him. He staggered not at the promise, the blessing of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21 says, and he was fully persuaded. Can you say fully persuaded?
Fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded. What does that mean? Have you ever been fully persuaded about something? Are you fully persuaded? Huh? Fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. How do you get fully persuaded about something? What did I say to do about this? If you're going to be a wealthy man, if I were a rich man, meditate about it. Is it wrong to meditate about it? Is it wrong to dream? Is it okay to dream? Can you dream dreams? If God gives you a dream, it's the best thing in the world because it's His blueprint. It's His print in your life. You begin to meditate on it. Sometimes dreams come like this, though. Sometimes you hear the Word of God and it begins to set a spark off inside of you. And you think about it for a little bit. Now you've got a choice. That spark's going. What are you going to do to it? Well, you can say, I believe it. I'm going to think about that. You know, I'm going to mull that over. Yes, sir, I believe. You know, and then you'll start looking for other word that confirms it. You'll start looking through the Word of God and saying, is this really you, Father? Is this you? Is this spark from you? And you'll meditate it on it. You'll stop and you'll think about it. You'll mull it over. And then you begin to talk about what God promised. And you might tell some close friend of yours. You may not be like Joseph and tell your older brothers about it. But you might go to a friend that will agree with you in prayer and begin to tell him what God's saying to you. Somebody that you know is of a like mind. And you talk about what God said. And you say, yeah, just like Abraham did. Abraham went and said, I'm the father of many nations. Did you know God changed my name to Father of Many Nations? Me, you only had one child, and not through Sarah. I only had Ishmael, but now God says, I'm the Father of Many Nations. And you begin to do the same thing about what God's promised you, so that the blessing that God gave to Abraham will come upon the Gentiles by your trusting. Meditate about it. Deuteronomy 28 says, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. What does hearken mean? What's it mean to hearken? Yeah. It means to listen. Hear. Shema. If you'll hear diligently the voice of Yahweh to observe and to do all His commandments, is that going to get you saved? No, no. It's going to open the door of blessing. He says, if you'll observe to do all His commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee. Well, man, if God didn't mean that, why did He say that? Well, that's just for Israel. Oh, is it? Or is it for Abraham's seed? I believe that's for Abraham's seed. Beside that, if you want to say it's for Israel, well, that's all right because you've been grafted in.
For whoever will observe Him.
That's right. Isn't that what God tells us? If you're going to come and become a part of Israel, you're going to observe and do what I say. And that includes having a circumcised heart, doesn't it? Become a part and party with. If you're going to do it. He says, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. They come on thee and they overtake thee. Man, if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, or if you trust in the Word, right? That's what you got to do, is trust in His Word. You know, if you look at the last chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19, Moses makes this statement. Now, you remember when he's saying this? This is just before he goes home. This is just before Moses goes home. Now, finally, he's in the last of that speaking. And he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Why could God do that? Because His words were no longer in heaven. He put His words on the earth. So I can call heaven and earth together to record against you this day that I've set before you what? Life and death. Blessing, say blessing, and cursing. Therefore, what are you going to do? Choose life. Well, I'm telling you that what we're talking about here today is choosing life. Choosing to walk in the Word of God. Choosing to believe the Word of God that both you and your seed may live. Stand up with me. And as you do, say, I choose life. Say it like you mean it. I choose life. I receive the blessing by faith. God's not a man that he should lie. Say, hear that again. God is not a man that he should lie. He spoke the blessing to mankind. I heard Bethany say it. He spoke the blessing to mankind. Let's all hear from all of you. He spoke the blessing to mankind. How many of you are mankind? Is there any mankind here? He spoke the blessing to us. So he confirmed it in Abraham. The blessing, the promise, righteousness, the gospel, the anointing, they're mine in Jesus Christ. I'm fully persuaded. The blessing will never fail. Do you believe that? I'm telling you what. We are blessed with faithful Abraham. And the blessing of God, God's looking for people that are just ready to let it come out. But you got to do it the same way. If Abraham learned to do it from God, and we've already said, if we do the same thing Abraham did, we'll get the same results. You believe that? I believe it. I believe it. Father, I thank you today. I thank you that when your people come together in your name, two or three of us gathered together in the name of Yahweh God, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, truly you are here in the midst of us, and we, Lord God, look for the manifestation of the Spirit in our midst today. We thank you for the prophetic word today, Lord God. We thank you for words of exhortation that have come forth in this house today. And we, O Lord, have taken a stand that we will choose life. Heaven and earth are bearing witness today against us. The word that's spoken, the word that's nigh us, even in our mouth and in our heart, that is the word of faith which we speak, that same word will put us over, will make us strong, and cause us to receive the blessing by faith. We thank you for it now. We praise you for it. In the name of Yeshua, we thank you that your word is alive in us. We thank you that the spark of divine truth has been ignited in us today. We're going to walk in the light as you are in the light and have fellowship with you and with one another. We thank you, Father. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up the light of his countenance upon you, and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God.